Take your Bibles, please. They're in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 9 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And let's finish on verse 15 together. Ready? But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Dozens of people walking the aisle this morning for salvation. Half a dozen or more baptized. Yet, the Word of God was preached and powerful and changed so many hearts and lives. Lord, tonight your people have sung and sung praises back to you. What a wonderful sound. Maybe even a more wonderful sound hearing these hundreds of people read your words back to you. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our lives so that we could reach more people for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is this: Evil and Sin Are Not the Same. Let me read to you again a verse from the passage of Scripture that you read with Brother Bush a moment ago. The Bible says in Matthew 6:13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Deliver us from evil. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's a sample prayer or a model prayer. This prayer wasn't intended for people to chant it in vain repetition. It was to teach us how to pray. It's got all the right elements in regard to prayer in it. And I noticed here in this passage of Scripture that it says here that we're to pray that we are delivered from evil. That means this: as you pray, you probably should beg God that you do not become evil. Then not only that, maybe it's telling us that we should ask God to help us that we stay away from evil people and evil situations. Not only that, maybe it would be wise that we prayed that we do not become the target of evil. Well, whatever the case, God said, deliver us from evil, whether it's me being evil upon you, or me separating from someone that is evil, or evil coming upon me, we need to be delivered from evil. It's a big deal to God. It does not say deliver us from drug abuse. Now, I'm for being delivered from drug abuse, but I just want to point out to you, in this model prayer, the most famous prayer in the world, God says, you need delivered from evil. It doesn't say deliver me from drug abuse. It doesn't say deliver me from covetousness. So I think we ought to be delivered from that. It says deliver me from evil. It doesn't say deliver me from drunkenness, but it says deliver me from evil. It does not say deliver me from stealing. It says deliver us from evil. It doesn't say deliver me from gambling. It says deliver me from evil. It doesn't say, deliver me from smoking. It says, deliver us from evil. From lying. No, it says, deliver us from evil. Here it is, a model prayer, the most famous prayer, and in it, the Lord said, you want to be delivered from this thing called evil. It doesn't say, deliver me from cussing. Now, I don't think you ought to cuss, but it does say, deliver me from evil. It doesn't say, deliver us from our temper. And I think you ought to be delivered from your temper. But it does say, deliver us from evil. It doesn't say, deliver us from our bad habit of rock music. And I think you ought to be delivered from rock music. But it does say, deliver me from evil. It says, deliver us from evil. It's a big deal to God. The most famous prayer in the Bible mentions that we need delivered from this thing called evil. The word evil here is the Greek word is panoneros. It means a vicious, malicious, act to cause anguish and hurt upon another, but it doesn't stop there. It actually means then to influence others to act maliciously and viciously towards someone. Evil means to try to hurt someone, to attack them, maybe verbally, maybe attack their character or attack their reputation. It's to bring injury to them, not necessarily just bodily, though it could be bodily, but you're out to hurt someone. Let me give you an example of evil. I'll read to you from Acts chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. It says that it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Now that's evil. Here you see evil. It is an evil conspiracy to hurt someone. So some Jews form a team to hurt Paul and others who are preaching the Bible. And the Bible says there that these people, these evil people stirred up this evil. And it used the term there, made their minds evil. In other words, somebody said, I want to stir someone up. And I'm going to work on their minds and get their mind to turn on someone. The Bible calls that an evil act. Evil people, on purpose, are saying, I'm going to hurt that person. I'm going to figure out a way to hurt that person. Oh, you may not know that's what they're trying to do because evil people are sly, but that is their purpose. Evil is planned and it's constructed and put together. It's a plan of evil to hurt someone. Have you ever noticed in the title, devil, it is spelled D-E-V-I-L. Do you see a word in there? Take the D off, it's evil. At the core, Satan is evil. Now the title of my sermon tonight is this, Evil and Sin are Not the Same. Now, I'll apologize to you right now. I have no humor for you tonight. You got your fair dose of humor this morning. You got enough humor this morning for the rest of your life, I suppose. But I want to get with it. I want to make it as quick as I can. But I want you to understand that evil and sin are not the same. Let me start out by doing this. Number one, sin is the transgression of God's law. 1 John 2:1 says, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. That in man sin we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, sin is when God says, you're not to drink liquor, and you do it anyway, now you've sinned. Sin is when God says you shouldn't listen to bad music, rock music, or country music. You do it anyway, so you've transgressed God's law. Sin is God saying you shouldn't be cussing and cursing, and you curse anyway. Now you've sinned. You've transgressed God's law. Sin is when God said you should not covet, and you covet anyway, and then now you have broken God's law. Sin is when God says you should not steal. Now, when you steal, now that's sin. You've transgressed God's law. Sin is when God said you should not lie, but you lie anyway. Now you've sinned because you've broken God's law. Sin is when God said you should not gamble, but you gamble anyway. Now you've transgressed God's law. Sin is when God tells you you should not mistreat your body and smoke, but you do anyway. Now you've sinned. You've transgressed God's recommendation in regard to the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sin is when you disobey God's commands. Sin is when you do not do what God told you to do. Or sin is when you do something God told you not to do. But it is an act of disobedience to the Word of God. So number one, sin is the transgression of God's law. Number two, evil is when you launch out to hurt someone. So many times you read through the Bible and you see the word sin and evil, and if you're not careful, you'll think they're the same thing, but they're not. They are not the same thing. Sin is a transgression of the law. Evil is when you launch out to hurt someone. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 is a passage of Scripture that we would call the love chapter in the Bible. And here the Bible is talking about love, and it says, Love thinketh no evil. People that really love are not out to hurt anyone. They don't want to hurt anyone. You'll figure out if someone really loves you. Watch what kind of behavior they have toward other people. When you find somebody that wants to hurt and wants to hurt on purpose, there's a great big absence of love in their life. Evil shows the absence of true Christian love. Being evil, listen to this, being evil is a sin. But evil is worse than sin. Evil is sin on purpose to hurt somebody. Let me give you a story. Let me read you something from the Bible. The story of Joseph and his brothers from the Old Testament. Genesis 37, I'll read it to you, verse 1 and 2. It says, "And Jacob dwelled in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. There are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Notice it says there, there's an evil report. Something's about to happen. His brothers are talking, and his brothers are planning something evil. Now it goes on later on in verse 17, 18, and 19. It says this, "And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." You see, it said Joseph noticed there was something evil going on among his brothers. Many verses later, we find out that his brothers had actually conspired against him. There's evil. Notice they conspired against him. They conspired to kill him. That's evil. They end up, and you all know this, they end up selling him to an Egyptian caravan. You see, it is sin to do wrong. It is evil to do wrong against other people. It's a sin for you to cuss at somebody. But it is evil for you to take it further than that and to attack them and to try to hurt them. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away." We should put evil away from us. Evil speaking, the Bible says. Notice someone is planning to hurt with words. You see, folks, one reason why Brother Owens preaches so much against gossip is because gossip becomes evil. It becomes evil. Hey, it's a sin to do wrong. It's evil to do wrong against people. Christians are never to be evil. You're never to plan revenge. You're not to hurt people. We sing the song, "Yield not to temptation." For yielding is what? Yield not to temptation. For yielding is what? Sin. Exactly. Verse number 2, though, starts out and says, "Shun evil companions." Two different things talked about in that song. First of all, God said, you should not yield to temptation because temptation will bring sin. What is sin? Sin is when you go against what God wanted you to do. Then He intensifies it in that song and said, you had better shun evil companions. Why? Evil companions will cause you to hurt people. So, number one, I said, sin is the transgression of God's law. Number two, evil is when you launch out to hurt someone. Number three, evil and sin are different.
Right.
They're not the same. All people sin. All people transgress the law of God. All people fall short. All people miss the mark. All people do wrong. All people break God's rules. Hey, all people sin, but not all people are evil. Evil means you're out to hurt someone. Evil means you're out to destroy someone. Evil means you're out to injure someone. Evil means you're out to get someone. Sin is an individual act of wrong. Evil is an alliance on purpose to bring harm to another person. You see, it is a sin to drink liquor. It is evil to sell it. It is a sin to smoke. It is evil to influence someone else to smoke. You young people, and I don't know of any young people in our church that smoke, but I'll tell you something, if you do,
If you want to hurt yourself, you go right ahead and hurt yourself, but don't you become evil and try to get some other teenager to do wrong. That's evil. That's evil. It is a sin to listen to rock and roll music. It is evil to convince others to come over to your house and listen to rock and roll music. It is a sin to steal. It is evil to talk someone else to get involved in that stealing. Hey, it's a sin to criticize someone. But it is evil when you rally others together to slander and to continually try to hurt someone and to destroy them. It is a sin to gamble. It's evil to work at a casino where you help other people do wrong. Sin hurts you. Evil hurts other people. So you see, evil is sin, but sin is not evil. Sin is what you do to yourself. Evil is when you propagate or promote this behavior among other people. Lucifer was once in heaven. I think most of you know enough theology that he was in heaven and he was one of God's archangels. Lucifer, in his pride, rose up against God and he sinned. But then he became evil when he pulled together one-third of heaven's angels so they too would rebel against God. The sin was the pride. The evil was when he pulled a group of people together, the group of angels together, and said, let's all rebel together. That's evil. Let me give you another example. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 12, 13, and 14, it says this. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so, and sin, and that they might have a matter of evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophets Nobadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Let me explain what I just read to you. God's people had gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall around the city. Two men decided to hurt the work of the rebuilding of the wall. Their names were Tobiah and Sanballat. They found an alliance and formed an alliance and started using every method possible to destroy and discourage the Christians. The Bible says here that they found a matter of an evil report. What was it? It was evil. It was evil. Had one of those men went down one time and knocked over a bunch of the mortar and the bricks on the rebuilding of the wall, it would have been sin. But when that one man said, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to rally some people together to help me, it became evil. Hey, you be careful. We're all going to sin. But whatever you do, you don't want to become an evil person. When anyone is out to destroy or hurt somebody else intentionally, you're evil. You're evil. Evil is worse than sin. Evil is an attack. It's full of revenge and hate and bitterness. It is evil that splits churches, not sin. It's not sin that splits churches. Somebody in a church can commit adultery, that won't split a church. Oh, but when somebody decides to launch an attack on the preacher, on an assistant pastor, on the church, and they start going out to McDonald's and buying coffee for people after church, and pulling them in and spreading evil about the church or that person or whoever they're trying to attack, that's what splits churches. Sin does not split churches. Evil splits churches. That's one reason why I throw a fit about people keeping their mouths shut and not going around and gossiping and saying things they should not say. Look, we're all going to sin. Every one of us are going to sin, but you don't have to be evil. I said this thus far. I said, number one, sin is a transgression of God's law. Number two, evil is when you launch out to hurt someone and gather people to help you do it. Number three, evil and sin are different. Number four, our job is to build people up, not tear people down. Hey, let me tell you something. I counted, and I did it very, very quickly. I counted the number of times God mentions sin in the Bible and the number of times God mentions evil in the Bible. You would think, as much as we hear about sin, that there would be more mention of sin in the Bible than evil, but there's not. Somewhere about 290 times God tells us stay away from sin. He tells us over 550 times to stay away from evil. Why? Evil is a destroyer of the unity of God's people. Evil destroys things. Sin destroys individuals. Evil destroys groups. And God's concerned about groups of people being safe. Evil is that, again, that splits churches. Sin happens to us all. We all fall and damage ourselves, but evil is not an accident. It's an on-purpose destruction, a malicious attack to hurt someone. I said this, number four. Our job is to build up, not tear down. Our job as Christians is to build up, not to tear down. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that word fault there is like sin. Somebody's done something dumb, they've fallen, and hey, and before you become much of a hypocrite, whatever somebody else has done, you're capable of that too. You're capable of that too. But it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore to such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It says restore in a spirit of meekness, lest you be the next one to fall. No wonder. Here, God told us we're to build up. We're to take people that fall and build them back up and give them another chance. In Matthew 6:13, the Lord said in His prayer, deliver us from evil. Now, we're to pray that we don't ever set out to hurt somebody. God wants us not to hurt people. You say, well, wonder if the person I'm trying to hurt has sinned. Should you practice evil against somebody for their sin? Do you realize that if you practice evil against somebody for their sin, you have set out to destroy them, and according to the Bible, you're worse than them. If somebody has sinned, which is a transgression of the law, and you attack them in an evil fashion to try to destroy them for their sin, you have become evil, and evil is worse than sin.
Right.
Let me give you a story in the Bible. John chapter 8, I won't take the time to read it all to you. But there was a woman there that was taken in the very act of adultery. She had committed a sexual sin. Just so you know, you're not supposed to sleep with anybody you're not married to. That's what the Bible says. The Bible calls it adultery if you're married. The Bible calls it fornication if you're not. You're supposed to stay clean. But this woman had been caught in the very act of adultery. So a bunch of religious virtual hypocrites had gathered her. They had stones, and they're about to stone her to death. Jesus steps in. Jesus makes a statement. He says, he that is among you, that hath not sinned, may cast the first stone. You know what all these men had to do? They had to drop their stones. But here's the thing. These men were not only guilty of sin, they were guilty of evil. They had attacked someone, and they wanted to destroy that someone, and they had not only sinned, but now they had become evil. They had gathered other people and said, "Let's go. Let's beat the snot out of this sinner." You can be glad that God doesn't carry stones in His pocket. You would have had your head knocked in a long time ago. They not only wanted to hurt, they wanted to destroy, and it was a plan. And the Bible says all the men had to lay their stone down because somebody could see right through them. Jesus could see that they were evil. He knew that they had congregated to hurt. They were Pharisees. And Jesus said to the woman when everybody left, He said, "Where are thine accusers? Where are thine accusers?" She said, "There are none, Lord." And He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." She had sinned, yes. And she will suffer the consequences of sin. But Jesus came along and said to a bunch of a Pharisee-type Christians, "What are you doing here? What are you doing?" "Well, she sinned, and we're going to bash her head in with rocks." Jesus, in essence, said, "You're evil. You are evil. That is not the way that Christians should behave." You see, it's our job to build up, not to tear down. You know, folks, our church is a hospital.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be sick from time to time. If every time somebody sins, and you're going to pick up a rock and try to bash their head in, we're going to have a bunch of dead people.
That's right.
You say, "Well, I don't like that sin." Well, God doesn't like any of your sin.
Yeah. That's right.
But the Bible says here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. But notice it says there, ye that are spiritual. It won't be spiritual people that are evil. Let me go on. The worse our world gets, the more evil there will be in it. The worse our world gets, the more evil there will be in it. And you say, oh, Brother Owens, is there some sort of a problem? No, I preach a lot of preventative maintenance type sermon. If I had to guess right now, I guess there's probably one evil person in our congregation. About 1,000 people that come here. God, you can be guaranteed there is. There's somebody that spits venom and tries to destroy people. But no doubt about that. You say, am I that one? Yes, you are. You know who you are, don't you? You've heard me say this before. I had a buddy, pastor friend, got up and threw a fit Sunday morning. He said, there's somebody committing adultery in this church. If you don't get in my line today and we talk about it, I'm going to get up tonight and I'm going to tell everybody you're committing adultery. That day in his line, there were 6 men that got in line and confessed. No, there is somebody evil here. No doubt about it. And all of you better be careful. Might be your family member. Oh, you're not going to have a congregation of 1,000 plus people on a regular basis without evil being present somewhere. But I'd say we got a pretty good record going. That means that out of that 1,999 have some good sense about themselves. One of the best ways to keep evil from being spread is shut your ears off. But the worse our world gets, the more evil there will be in it. Let me show you. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 and 13 says this. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's talking about in the latter days. In the end times, the closer it comes to Jesus coming back, evil people will multiply. And here it says, anybody that lives godly is going to suffer some evil. And I apologize to you. If you're going to live godly, somebody, somewhere, someday is going to launch an attack on you. Because all that live godly are going to suffer the reproach of some evil person. If you've not suffered it yet, you will someday. Usually the more good you do, the more evil will come your way. Why? Well, why not? Who is the evil one? It is Satan. The more good a church does, the more the devil wants to destroy it. I hate to tell you, there are churches in this area the devil ain't going to mess with much. Why? Well, they don't mess with the devil much. Well, we knock the snot out of him around here. You have almost 200 people saved in the dead of summer. In 3 weeks, I'm going to guess the devil's going to be mad. I'm going to guess old Smutty Face would like to destroy this place. I'm going to guess he's going to get mad at you, bus captain. I'm going to guess he's going to get mad at you, Sunday school teacher. I'm going to guess the evil one. Hey, don't you think for a moment the devil wouldn't like to destroy the old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Don't you for a moment think that he wouldn't like to take us out. You know what? You staff men, he wants you. We got an awesome team around here. He'd like to destroy the team. You Sunday school teachers, he'd like to destroy you. Bus captains, he'd like to destroy you. And the worse our world gets, the more evil you're going to find in it. Anyone that lives godly is going to suffer some persecution of evil. Let me say this, number 6. The tongue can be very, very evil. James chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Notice God does not call your tongue sinful. It's evil, full of poison. Like a snake. It is the tongue that spits out evil. You better stay away from people that spit out evil. Hey, so funny. Had someone get right with God. that came to my office, and before I could stop them, they said, Brother Owens, this is somebody that was here before a bunch of you joined us, this from the original crowd of folks. Somebody got right with God, and they said, Brother Owens, I'm so sorry. It's been all these years. I've never totally accepted you as my pastor, but I was listening to somebody else here, and they've not talked anything good about you for 4.5 years, and I'm so sorry. You know what had happened? Evil.
Yes,
sir. So they spent 4.5 years of evil trying to pull somebody else in. Thank God, somebody came to their senses and said, boy, I just got to get away from that person. I just got to get away. And so, you know, if you're that evil person, don't squirm. I'm not going to attack you. I know who you are. But I'll tell you this. You can thank God I've got to live according to the Bible. Nobody will ever know. And I told the person that told me, I said, I don't want you to tell anyone you told me that. I don't want you to repeat it ever again. You forget about it. And I said, I don't really believe that. Why? No, I don't want to be evil. I don't want to be evil. I don't want to live that way. I'm not going to toss and turn. I'm going to think you like me. I think everybody likes me. You better stay away from people that spread poison with their tongue. Evil out to hurt. Evil people recruit and they try to spread the poison from their tongue. I've watched them. I've watched through the years. I've watched evil people attack one another and attack churches and attack ministries. I've seen them do it with their words and with books and tapes and with CDs and with web pages. I've watched it over and over again. Let me tell you something about gossip. Gossip is like the fire, and the Bible says that the tongue is like a fire. It's set on fire in hell. You know, one tree can make a million matches. But one match can destroy a million trees. That's what gossip does. So I say to you, the tongue can be very evil. Let me move on quickly. Number 7. We're not to even be close to evil people. Proverbs 4:14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. I said to you, number 7, we are not even to be close to evil people. We shouldn't associate with them. Here the Bible says, go not in the way of evil men. When it talks about the way, it talks about where they're walking. That's the way. You see evil people, you're better off just scooting around. I'm not telling you to be rude. I don't ask you to be rude. But when you see evil people, you scoot around them. And you it's clarified here this evening already what is evil. Don't walk where they're at. Don't hear what they have to say. Don't read what they write. It's evil. I about every 3 to 4 months get a letter from somebody evil in America. To do out to do what? Destroy somebody. The minute I find out someone's evil, I throw what they write away and I don't read it. Why? Well, because I'm not to go in their path. If we took the time, and I can't go to it, Romans 16:19 says you are to be simple concerning evil. Doesn't say be simple concerning sin. It says be simple concerning evil. What does it mean? You don't need to know everything that somebody else is using to try to destroy another person. You become a partaker of the evil when you pack your head full of that junk. I can't tell you. There's a man in America that would love to destroy a bunch of people, and every time I get a letter from him, I just throw it in the trash. I ain't read it. Now you're like, you know, you're like the Christian National Enquirer. You want to get in there and you want to find out. I don't. Because I know that if I read it, I may influence my mind. And the Bible says you cannot but speak what you have heard. And if I don't hear it, I'm not going to say it. And if I don't hear it, I'm not going to believe it. And I'm not out to hurt anybody. You run to it, you gobble it up, and then you say, oh, that person is probably somebody lying. Well, I'll guarantee you, if somebody launches an attack on another Christian in this church, you're evil.
That's right.
You're evil. You're evil. You say, well, what do we do, Brother Owens? I'll tell you what you do. You overcome evil with good. You overcome evil with good. That's what the Bible says. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Brother Brad, I'm going to turn this microphone on for a second. And folks, we're going to land this ship here in just a second. I'm hurrying. The Bible says you overcome evil with good. So, what's that mean? If somebody ever attacks you, what you do is you just start doing more good.
Because how am I going to overcome it? Just keep doing good. Don't stop doing good. Don't miss a lick. Don't let their evil against you startle you. Don't you let them, hey, don't you give the devil the benefit of the doubt. If somebody tries to hurt you and attacks you and they're out to destroy your reputation or to destroy you, you keep doing good. You keep coming to church. You keep soul winning. You keep teaching your Sunday school class. You know something? I never answer my critics. Never do. Say, what do you do, Brother Owens? I just keep doing what I've been doing all these years. My critics have come and gone. They have come and gone, and it almost irritates them because I won't write back to them. I don't mention anything to them. And I'll see them, and I'll shake their hand and say, God bless you. I love you. Good to see you. They don't know what to do. They just about can't take it. They want to cause the fight. They want to see. They want to draw me out to the flesh, and I will not give them the benefit of the doubt. They have no control over me. They can rot in their own heart, rot in their own mind, and rot in their evil. I'm too busy getting people saved. I'm too busy salvaging marriages. I'm not going to come down from the great task that God's given me to fight in the scum and the muck of the gossip and the criticism and the backbiting. I don't want anything to do with it. I've got a big job ahead of me, and I've asked God to deliver me from evil. And I may not stop somebody from attacking me, but I'm not attacking. I'm not going to play that game. I'm uninterested. We have too many things to do to get involved in evil. So I don't answer my critics. She said, what do? I just keep doing right. Keep doing right. Don't restate. Hey, I don't think you ought to seek revenge on evildoers. Just keep doing right. Don't become evil to fight evil. It's where a lot of people make their mistake. Don't become evil to fight evil. You say, Brother Horns, I know someone that's evil. I'm going to get him. See something wrong with that? I know someone that's evil. I'm going to take care of it. You just became like them. You just became like them. You want to know one of the best ways in the world to fight evil? Do good. Do good. Do good. If lots of evil comes your way, do lots of good. That'll do it. It'll also keep you from going batty. You lazy people never do anything for God. You think you're serving God because you came in here and heard some singing tonight? That's not serving God by coming to church and letting somebody else do all the work. But you lazy people, spiritually, when evil attacks you, you will be miserable. You'll be a freak out, flip out. I'll tell you why. Because you ain't got nothing to do but sit around and think about it. Before long, you're going, everybody's against me, everybody hates me, I can't take it, I'm going to kill me, kill everybody, I can't, I'm weird. But you want to know something? If you're just busy for God and keep on working, you won't have time to think about all that trash. You won't have time. So, but when people launch out to hurt me, it just tears me to shreds. Once you get so busy, you don't have time to think about it. Keep yourself busy. The Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus could not afford to sin. He was a perfect Lamb of God, sinless, perfect, no flaws at all. Oh, but evil men attacked him. Lied about him. They're still doing it today. They're still today trying to say that Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene. Still today talking about him going against the Old Testament law. Still today saying he sinned by putting himself on the same level as God. He was God. They'll eat their word someday. But let me tell you something. Had Jesus Christ not stayed busy, he said, I'm going to the cross. I've got my mind on the cross. I've got to go to the cross. And then I'm going to die. And they're going to bury me. I'm going to be resurrected. I got to keep my mind fixed on the great cause of God. I've got to save the people that I love. I came here to do it. He kept his mind so attached. He kept his mind so focused. He just made sure. You see, had he become evil, do you understand? He could have called 10,000 angels. All he would have had to do after they nailed him to the cross, all he had to do is even for an iota of a moment's sake, get him. And all of heaven's angels would have stormed down on this earth and could have burned it to bits. He could have destroyed it all, but he did not come to do evil. And if they were being evil to him, he could not afford to do evil back, because evil is worse than sin. How did he not do it, Brother Owens? How did he not use the power that was in him to rise up and to crush his enemy? He said, I've got to keep my mind on good. I've got to keep doing good. I've got to save little boys and girls. I've got to save people from going to a hell and burning forever. I've got to do good. Hey, one of the reasons he stayed busy doing good, he wanted to make sure that the sin against him did not cause him to sin against him and to become evil, and we'd all be in hell had he done what some of you do. But thank God, Jesus Christ did not commit evil. He had every right. Said, but what they did against me, you got to stop and take an account on everything you did against him, the perfect one. Sin and evil are not the same. We're all going to sin, but you don't have to be evil. Don't get involved with evil. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sin and evil are not the same. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.